Navy is currently taking a close look at its traditional rum ration for its sailors, considering the possibility of cutting it down or out. Seems one swig of naval rum is enough to make a seafaring man flunk England's new drunk driving test. Make quite a scene, wouldn't it? All right, brass buttons, pull that destroyer over to the pier. Do you realize you were doing 38 knots in a 15-knot zone? Where's the battle anyway?
From the canyons of the mind, we wander on and stumble blindly through the often tangled maze of starless nights and sunless days, while asking for some kind of clue or road to lead us to the truth, but who will answer? Side by side, two people stand together, bound hand in hand, that love's embedded in their hearts, but soon an empty feeling starts to overwhelm their hollow lives, and when they seek the hows and whys, who will answer? On a strange and distant hill, a young man lying very still. His arms will never hold his child, because a bullet running wild has struck him down. And now we cry, dear God, oh why, but who will answer? High upon a lonely ledge, figure teeters near the edge, and cheering crowds collect below to egg him on with go, man, go. But who will ask what led him to his private day of doom? And who will answer? If the soul is darkened, I appear it cannot be. If the mind is baffled, as overhead a row of specks roars on, ground up by discotheques. And if a secret button's pressed, because one man has been outguessed, who will answer? Is our hope in walnut shells torn round the neck with temple bells? Or deep within the cloistered walls, where would it take its prey and fall? A crumbled book and dusty shell, or a scar in our cell?
Thank you.
Sound of Monitor 67, where we'll be hearing 3 minutes from now from our talking cartoonist Al Capp, with a few pointed comments on protest that exists for the sake of protest alone. First, monitor music.
Look down, that lonesome road before you travel on.
GI hospitals, and he's been sharing his impressions with us. Here's Al.
During my recent tour of Army hospitals in Southeast Asia, a young Army doctor told me a story that nauseated me, and I'd like to share it with you. He just returned from leave back home in the United States, and he'd arrived with several extra bags of luggage, mainly stuff he'd bought for presents to the folks back home at Army PX's where the price is right. No taxes. All the stuff had been transferred from the service chartered plane that took him from Vietnam to San Francisco and then on to the commercial airline that took him to his hometown, which I will not name out of respect for it. When he gathered it all together at his hometown airport, he couldn't find the skycap, but the airport seemed unusually crowded with young fellows who looked unusually shabby and in need of an extra buck or two. He walked up to two or three of them and began asking if they'd help him lug the stuff out to his car. His wife was waiting in it, but she couldn't help him because she was pregnant, even if she weren't. Only live parking was permitted. none of the bummy-looking young men would help him. In fact, they cut him off before he finished asking him and hurried away. They all seemed to be headed in the same direction. Finally, he collared one with a beard and wearing sandals and said, "Son, I'll give you $5 if you'll help me with this luggage." And the bearded one said, "Man, keep your money. I hate uniforms." As he hurried away, the army doctor read the word lettered on the large pendant on his necklace. It was love. Well, our army doctor carried out his own luggage. It took a long time, several trips up and back, but it was worth it. The last time in, he saw all those bummy-looking young fellas again. They were surrounding a famous protest singer and scuffling for the privilege of carrying his famous guitar. The protest singer was wearing a Confederate Army cap and the jacket of a World War II naval uniform, and out of respect for the Confederate Army and the U.S. Navy, I won't mention the protest singer's famous name. This is Al Capp from Monitor.
I'd like to have the help of those hippies or the doctor. I can never find a porter either. Now this shopping reminder. Remember this Christmas, as every Christmas, every woman alive wants Chanel number 5. Now Monitor Music, Eddie Arnold's latest, Here Comes Heaven.
Here comes heaven, all satin and lace.
Music at 16 minutes before the hour with more of everything ahead. So don't go away. You're on the Monitor Beacon.
Darling, your eyes shine like Chateau Martin sparkling champagne. Your touch is like the velvety smoothness of Chateau Martin vermouth, and your ruby red lips are like the richness of Chateau Martin blackberry wine. Let us toast our future with a glass of Chateau Martin.
I'll bet you hand this wine to all the girls.
And they love it.
The next time you hand a girl a wine, make it Chateau Martin blackberry wine. Bursting with the flavor of fresh crushed blackberries, mellowed to perfection in 100-year-old oak casks. Its just right sweetness is perfect before dinner, after dinner, even during dinner. So the next time you hand a girl a wine, make it Chateau Martin blackberry wine. And she'll love it.
Chateau Martin Wines, New York. Had any lately?
The Conversation Station, WNBC, New York.
Ed McMahon once again for Monitor 67, the home of entertainment and information. Here, for you envious amateur gardeners, is the diminutive Petula Clark with her latest, The Other Man's Grass is Always Greener.
What it seems, we're always searching in our dreams to find that better passer in the air. When worry starts to cloud the mind, it's hard to leave it all behind and just pretend you haven't got a care. Someone else in your imagination, I wish that you would stand in the measure.
Tarkenton was exceptionally sharp that day, and They won that one, I think. The way they won it, they deserved to win it. They came on good with a good pass and attack, and we made a few mistakes, and they took advantage of every opportunity and took every mistake, almost every mistake we made, and went in the score. And when a team do that, you know, it's kind of hard to beat them, and they ought to be commended.
Since that time, the Giants have been hit by injuries, the big one taking Tucker Frederickson out of their running attack. Does this mean, perhaps, that you're going to see more passing tomorrow?
Not necessarily. Tucker, of course, being a good runner that he is, I hate to see him get hurt, but the way it looks, they moved Joe Marson back there as a running back. And, and you know, the problem with Joe is, I can't see where that's going to hurt him at all.
How much have the Giants improved since the start of the season? You've been watching films all year.
I think it's hard to say. I haven't been watching too much of their defense, but offensively, I think they have improved a lot, say, over the first four or five games. The biggest improvement, I think, was the pass blocking. And they're getting some good blocking, too, even with the scrambling that Fran's doing. He can't scramble without good blocking, that's for sure. You know, and I think this is the key, too, because even when they're scrambling, you have to have time to find those receivers. And I think the biggest improvement is their overall offensive attack.
You suffered a shoulder separation a couple of weeks ago, missed one game, played the fourth period against Washington last week. Are you ready to go at full speed?
I feel I'm ready to go. Yes, I had the misfortune of just hurting my shoulder a couple of weeks ago against Green Bay. And I set out a game, and I came back last week, and I think I came in. Of course, I only played maybe 4 or 5 minutes, but I came over pretty good. And so far, I'm feeling well, and I think this week I'll be ready to go full speed again.
That Browns offense has been hampered by injuries all season long, particularly to Frank Ryan. Do you think the offense is ready to break loose?
Well, I think, of course, Frank's had the misfortune of having minor injuries, just the type of injuries, just enough to hamper his performance somewhat. But we like to think now that we're all relatively healthy, and if we're ever going to go, it's going to be this week and follow up. You know, how it is, you're playing one at a time. Whatever you got to go with, whether you're injured or not, you have to go full go.
One of the problems facing the Giants tomorrow is the running pair of Leroy Kelly and Ernie Green. And you faced some fine runners in your career. How do you rate this pair?
I'll tell you, I think that is the toughest 1-2 punch that I have ever seen in the National Football League. And this is my 10th year, and I've seen some pretty good 1-2 men, say with say fellas like Jim Taylor and Paul Horney when they were going, the 1-2. But I think, no doubt in my mind, that Leroy Kelly and Ernie Green, I think, is the most explosive pair that I have seen, and I'm sure that many people will agree with me.
Thank you very much, Rich Barnes. This is Dick Hammer in Cleveland for Monitor Sports.
And now a word about Autolite.
Lamar, France, June 1967. You're listening to the car that won, the Ford Mark IV, a $100,000 car with a battery that's almost a carbon copy of the one you buy for under $22. It's an Autolite battery. How come a low-priced Autolite battery in a $100,000 car? Because there is no better battery for the job, not at any price. Get an Autolite battery for your car, whatever kind you drive.
Now more Monitor music as Dean Martin sings his newest about a condition of low visibility but high romantic potential in the misty moonlight.
In the misty moonlight.
I don't care.
note that a very fashionable department store on New York's Fifth Avenue was advertising a hand-decorated ceramic piggy bank that sells for $25. Question, after you buy it, what are you going to put in it? Be gentle on her mind. Remember, this Christmas is every Christmas. Every woman alive wants Chanel number 5. Coming up shortly, NBC News on the hour.